Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for Palm Sunday comes from our processional reading of John. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." In the name of Jesus. So much is to be done for the coronation of a king. So much pomp and circumstance to be had, banners and parades and festive extravaganzas to be thrown. That, of course, is when you know a coronation is going to take place. Preparation for such a thing is months and maybe even years in the making. You have to make sure that everything is perfect. Everything is in its place. Everything is exactly how it should be. But the coronation that we hear about in our text for this morning isn't really like that at all, is it? There's no real preparation, no planning. Instead, it's just thrust upon the people, upon the disciples, upon Jerusalem, as an out-of-nowhere sort of event. The crowd that had gathered there in Jerusalem for the feast, they get word that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and so they just go out and meet him. And the different gospel writers give us different specifics about how this first Palm Sunday took place. The synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell us that Jesus sends his disciples ahead to get a donkey for him to ride on. And surely, and our text said so, the disciples didn't really have a clue what was about to take place. They just, like always, listened to the words of their Lord and did what he told them to do. Kind of like that time where he told them, "Fill the jars with water so that I can supply this wedding feast with more wine than they could ever need." Or have the crowd sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties and give them their fill of this bread that I'm about to multiply. Or, like today, go into the city to a certain house and gather up a donkey that's never been ridden upon. I need to make my triumphal entry to the place of my glorious throne. It is then in this way that our Lord sets things in motion. No one really is sure what's about to go on. It's just that Jesus seems to always be in charge. You see, he is always the one directing us so that he can accomplish something miraculous for us. And so it is that our Lord is directing everything this Palm Sunday. In fact, he's directing everything that's going to happen this entire Holy Week. None of it is outside of his control. None of it, no matter how random it might appear, is random in the least. Yeah, maybe some of the specifics, like what they had for breakfast, aren't set in stone. And to be sure, all of the Pharisees and religious leaders were free to bring up whatever question they might have to try and stump Jesus. But you see, he's going to use all of this to work it out for the ultimate good. Which means that no matter what takes place, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, those are going to happen. For the hour has come for the King of Kings to be coronated, and all the earth and all the people must fall in line. Now, surely you do remember that Jesus had already done the miraculous many times over. In fact, in just a few days earlier, he'd called Lazarus out of the tomb, raising a dead man to life once again. And word of that had gone out, of course it would, from Bethany all the way to Jerusalem. And the whole world, it would seem, was about to go after him, just like the Pharisees said at the end of our processional reading. So that's why the crowd, they get all excited. Those gathered for that Passover feast, they hear about this resurrection man, that he was making his way into the city, and they have to go out to meet him. Now it's at this moment that I have to turn this sermon just a bit and direct this question to you. I'm going to put you in the shoes of the crowd for that Palm Sunday, for after all, that is what you are, isn't it? So here goes. Why are you here this morning in this place? Are you here out of obligation? Are you here because this is just what you're supposed to do on a Sunday morning? Are you here because it was your turn to supply treats for the goody table? Or just because the choir is scheduled to sing? Are you here to see friends? Maybe engage in some friendly conversation with like-minded people? Or are you here because there's nothing better to do? Or are you here because Jesus, the resurrection man, the one who raises people from the dead, is present and about to grant to you things that you can't find anywhere else? I'll let that question just hang there for a moment. No reason to actually answer it out loud. But back to our text. There is Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. He does so fulfilling the prophets like Zechariah, just like John tells us in our text for today. And he does so also looking an awful lot like David, doesn't he? David of old, and his son too, Solomon, after him. For a donkey was a royal steed, surely not lost on that first Palm Sunday crowd, even if it has gone over our heads this morning. And all of that donkey riding means that Jesus is that long-awaited King of Israel, true King of Israel, and he is the King who reigns in gentleness and meekness, not one resembling a warrior. Now, don't get me wrong. It's most certainly true that Jesus is riding off to war, about to do battle with the evil enemies of his people, but the way in which he wages war is going to look a little bit different than anything that the kings of old ever did, or anything that we think a king would actually do. And so the people, the Palm Sunday crowd, shouts out at the top of their lungs when they see him making his mule-trodden way into the city of kings. They cry out, "Hosanna! Lord, save us." That's what Hosanna means. But what is it that they're seeking salvation from? Is it the Romans? The religious zeal of the Pharisees? Does it even matter? Do they even know? Do we even know? We cry out, "Hosanna, too. Lord, save us." We did it this morning a couple different times. We do it every Sunday in the Sanctus, right before the service of the sacrament. But surely this isn't the only time that we do this. This fallen world in which we live, these broken bodies of which we see crumbling before our very eyes day after day and year after year, certainly they have their weight that they heap upon us. And all of this sin that infests our lives, much of which we actually bring upon ourselves, can burden our conscience, cause us to deep despair. Even the sin of others, most oftentimes, certainly, the sin of others, wreaks havoc on us too. Husbands, dishonoring their wives, treating them as slaves instead of as their very own body. Wives belittling their husbands, treating them as bumpkins instead of the head of their family. Brothers in Christ treating each other as enemies, not caring at all how their actions or their words might actually cause deep wounds that sometimes never seem to heal. Now, maybe none of these things actually ring a bell for any of you, so just feel free to fill in the blank, because sin has done a number on all of us. And we haven't even mentioned death yet, which causes the most egregious of all wounds that we know, watching our loved ones waste away slowly or maybe quickly, sitting in tears at a funeral, staring blindly into a grave that houses the body of our friend or our spouse or, God forbid, maybe even a child. Are all of these things the things that we cry out, "Hosanna," for? Surely they are. And so we cry out, "Hosanna," even if we use different words. We cry out for our Lord, for our God, to come and save us. Save us from this wretched life that we live. Save us from the sin that we so carelessly transgress against our neighbors. Save us from the sin that others bring upon us that hurt and harm and hack away at our very souls. Save us from the demons that whisper their wily lies into our ears, causing us to forget about and doubt the gifts of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And yes, most certainly, save us from the grave, from death, from the wages of all this sin that has infested the earth. And so it is most certainly true that on this Palm Sunday, Christ our Lord has a great deal to accomplish. So ride on in majesty, Jesus. It has been centuries since this whole entire fallen world has been waiting this day. We've been sitting in deep, sad darkness. We've been blindly meandering through this veil of tears, a lost flock without a shepherd, a people without a true king. We've all been waiting, so ride, Jesus, ride on in majesty. Your throne awaits for you to climb upon it, all rough and wooden, all sharp and splintery. And I know it looks nothing like that which a king should sit upon, resembling much more of an instrument of torture and death fit for a sinner than for the righteous one. But you've declared that it is the only throne that you would have this day. So ride on. Ride on, Jesus. We have a crown for you to wear as well. Less gold, more thorns, less diamond encrusted, more blood encrusted. And a robe, too, more of one to mock instead of praise, but it has been tailor-made for you. And a scepter of sorts, I suppose you could say, not so much to hold, but to be driven through your wrist. But it's with this scepter, and it's this crown, and it's this throne that you will reign over all of your enemies, over all of our enemies, in this strange and silent agony of victory that only a king like you can actually bear for us. Jesus does. He rides into Jerusalem this day, this Palm Sunday, hearing the shouts of Hosanna from the crowd, listening to each and every single one of those cries for salvation. None of it is lost on him. None of it comes as a surprise, for it is this day for which he was born, incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary for this very purpose, to take up the mantle of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to ride on in majesty so that his week-long coronation celebration can culminate on a dark Black Friday and with a stark empty tomb 3 days later. All of that's good. In fact, it's more than good. It's goodly good. It's divinely good. It's good because there's no other way by which this fallen down and broken up world can actually be saved. God had to bring salvation. The King of Heaven had to come and bring salvation. Jesus the Christ had to come and save us by his death and resurrection. But what does all of that have to do with today? What does 2,000 years ago Palm Sunday have for us on this 2024 Palm Sunday? Is there still salvation to be had? When we cry out Hosanna to the King of Kings this very morning, or throughout every day of this week, as we deal with all of the things that we need saving from, does Jesus still hear us? Does Jesus still save? I said earlier that God is always directing and ordering things so that we get to receive from him the wondrous and kingly gifts of the cross. I also alluded to it earlier too when I asked you, why are you here this morning? Why do we cry out Hosanna while singing the Sanctus? And why do we cry out for him for salvation in the middle of the night with a face full of tears stuffed in our pillows? And so this Palm Sunday is just like the very first Palm Sunday. For our King is here with us, listening to each and every single one of our Hosannas. And while the cross is already in the rearview mirror of history, your King, still rides on in majesty. The only difference is that his kingly mount has transformed from a humble donkey into a humble piece of bread and a humble sip of wine. It's there. That is where your king comes to you today. Gifts of the cross in tow. His body still bearing the marks of his kingly throne, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. His blood, which was poured out for you, caught in a chalice this very morning, for you to drink for the salvation of your souls. Palm Sunday, right there this morning. Palm Sunday, right there every single Sunday morning. Your King coming to you, hearing each and every single one of your hosannas and bringing you salvation. In the name of Jesus.